you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate Revenge of the Sith one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Chrysanthi Tan from ChrysanthiTan.com/the internet.
Welcome back.
Don't actually slash the internet after my website.
Don't though. Slash the internet?
Yeah, don't.
That's vandalism. Don't
do that.
Well, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
We are discussing minute 17 of Revenge of the Sith. It starts off with General Grievous's ship, the Invisible Hand, taking a barrage of firepower from Republic ships. And it ends a minute later with Anakin's cold mechanical hand grabbing onto something as he and Sheev are falling down an elevator shaft. It's kind of turning from a hallway into an elevator shaft at that point.
It's a transformer.
Yeah.
It's like the problem with vertical motion in Star Wars. It's like always problems going up and down. This whole minute gave me vertigo.
Mm.
I think it's a kind of unique setup. There's certainly never been anything in Star Wars like this before where they kind of play with the, like going from vertical to horizontal to that. I think give them credit for that.
Now, this made me wish that they had gone and released all of them in 3D the way that they wanted to. This would be a fun thing to see in 3D. It's probably worse for your vertigo, I'm sure.
Yes, definitely worse. But I know it will be released in 3D for sure.
Mm-hmm. And when they did it, there. They screened it at Celebration.
Yeah, only at Celebration.
Oh, why didn't I?
I don't know. They're just the only one that they released was Phantom Menace, and then they scrapped it. So I think eventually they'll be... They'll see release. It's Disney. They'll release everything, hopefully.
They only did Phantom Menace.
They only released Phantom Menace. But
right, because that's the only one I saw.
Right. But they did the other two and just never, things changed. They just never released them theatrically. So they screened them at Celebration, the last two Celebrations, I think. But
Did the way they filmed this episode seem like they were gunning to do 3D one day?
It's possible. Maybe it was on the horizon. If anyone would have known 3D was on the horizon, it would have been Lucas.
Well, do you remember there was that board meeting, that secret cabal where at one point, could be somewhere around here. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but basically, all the powerful white guys in Hollywood, the big directors, got together and they were like, "Let's make 3D a thing again." And they're like, "Okay." Deal. James Cameron was there, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, a couple of other people. They were all just like, "How about 3D?" And they just okay.
What year was that?
I don't know. Maybe around this. I remember it being, it was before Avatar.
Yeah.
It was before, I don't know, things started to come out in 3D more. And we've had, we're kind of at the tail end of a new 3D wave that happened after that. But I remember reading about that there was the secret kind of society meeting
where everybody was families.
Let's make it a thing.
Because they do play more with proportions and stuff like that, like you were saying, sort of.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Than the other prequels, even.
Yeah. So maybe they had that in mind from the get-go.
Yeah, and the lightsabers even look different. And
We'll have to ask... my friend Eric worked on this movie, so when we get him on, we'll ask him.
Yes. Anyway.
RGD2. This is the first time we've seen R2 during your week. And you mentioned yesterday that you're a fan of the R2 material.
I am
a slapsticky.
I'm a fan of the R2 material. Mm-hmm. And this is a scream that I like even better than the Willem scream. R2's.
It's the second time he's screamed so far in this movie. 17 minutes in, and he screamed twice. Once when they detected the shield, and this one. Man. So, I'm gonna start keeping track of how many times
R2 just loves that attention.
Counter, ring a bell or something.
Droid that called Wolf.
Well, I had a question that sounds a little bit like a stand up routine, but it's also hey, that's what we do here. how come? Why
What's
is it
the
that,
deal?
R2-D2 can drive on the outside of a ship in space, like while it's flying around and getting attacked, but like he can't just roll down a hallway, like a hangar that's shifting. Like where are his little magnet wheels that were keeping him on the outside of the Naboobian ship? Wasn't he stuck to that and like having his whole thing? Why can't he just stick to the hangar? Unless the hangar is soft, like modern playgrounds.
Or maybe it's not magnetic material. It's tin or something.
Geez, are you in prime material 24/7?
I'm just.
Are you ever under the weather?
So maybe they took out the magnet wheels to put in the rockets,
or they just been overused that day, or just was.
He
doesn't have to always be perfect. I'm like very.
Well, it's kind of
rigorously
implied in our mandate to point these things out.
Wait, did he use the magnet wheels already?
No. I was just saying, like prior, there was an adventure prior to this one that he used. He used up all his magnet.
Oh right. Yeah. So it's like one and done with the magnet wheels.
No, it's like a cell phone plan. Per month, he can roll so many times, and then he already used it all up. But well, his rockets, too. He has rockets, and he doesn't use those. That would have come in handy in this part.
Maybe those are recharging. It's like his super. You have to wait for it to recharge, and then he...
Yeah, he needs a better plan.
Yeah.
So the ship tilts on its side, and there's a cool shot of people falling out of the ship, right?
Right.
Am I misremembering it? Is it just droids?
I think it's droids and maybe some people, maybe some Neimoidians or something.
Well, you can definitely hear battle droids like shrieking as they fall
down.
Hear
them
throughout the whole movie. There's just like a separate audio track of just battle droids shrieking and making comments. Yes.
But it made me wonder if the battle droids could survive falling all the way down to Coruscant. Because presumably that's where they'll wind up.
I'm going to say no.
No, you don't think?
No, if they were not these battle droids. I mean, some droids could, but like battle droids, these are just cheap kind of assembly line.
These ones look terrible.
Yeah. So you don't think they're
male?
No.
Yeah, they're clearly the worst battle droids because they all just get killed, and they're the ones like the pilot, the ship, and everything.
And when you see R2 like slamming into all of them, they're like in a heap of
there's just like a pile of droids there at the bottom.
Like insect parts, it really
is.
Right,
You're probably right. They probably couldn't survive
re-entry.
Although I do love that R2 landing on that pile of battle droids. It's like I wrote that's like a Jawa dream. And they're just like,
a Jawa dream.
Yeah, they're just like in their wildest dreams. It's just like this one astromech droid just lands on a pile of these battle droids. It's just parts everywhere. And
it'd be funny to watch these movies with an all Jawa audience to see what it is that like and don't like about it.
Like that one shot of R2-D2 falling, and they're like, woo!
Yeah. So then, like, when the Death Star blows up, they're like, oh!
Right. I would hate to watch a movie with Jawas.
Really?
Their eyes would just...
Oh, that's true.
That would be so annoying.
Like everybody was texting.
So, Jawas love that pile of droid bodies.
That was.
I think it would be fun to see a battle droid, like, in orbit for a while, though. They could probably survive in orbit for a while.
That's a story that we could tell.
That'll be
save
in
that. Pocket that for
point
our story.
Of view, from a certain point of view, too.
Right. So, another point of view.
Yeah.
And just like tell the story of just a battle droid in orbit for a while. And then that would be eventually he burns up.
Yeah.
I'd read that. I'd watch that.
All right.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and so then due to this, I do like 3D or not, and Vertigo aside, I do really like this kind of shift of plane or spaceship, but
shift of ship,
yeah, shift of ship. You know, changing the axis kind of and having everything be different. Like I remember doing that a lot. Like as a kid, I remember just being in, you know, like a meeting room or like a, you know, school or something like that, and just kind of sitting and being like, all right, like if we turned this room 90 degrees and that was the floor, this would be really awesome to play with, like to play Star Wars over here. Cause that, like, you know,
really, that's yeah,
such
like,
a forward thinking kid.
Yeah.
But just, you know, staring at stuff on the wall and being like, oh, this was a whole like, you know, yeah, area to play in. And so I like, you know, this kind of having that all of a sudden the walls are the doors and the floors of the ceilings and whatever else.
We were probably all too old to have been playing with the toys from this movie. We might have bought some as a collector, but I mean playing with them. Like, you said you were in high school.
Yeah, but I wasn't into the toys.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just made me
wonder. And there were also a zillion toys for this movie. Like, way too many.
Sure. I'm sure there were. So you were aware of which toys were out, but...
Yeah, it was just like too overwhelming at some point. It's like, does every... freaking senator need a toy? Like,
well, yes. How are you gonna make the senator?
Exactly. Exactly.
Preferably 12-inch and a 3¾-inch.
Yeah. Well, so I was gonna say, I wonder if they made a invisible hand playset that you could turn on its side and use it, you know, nice, that way too.
Well, that would have been cool.
Yeah. That would be cool if it was the old like Kenner style. So it was just like some plastic with cardboard pieces, cardboard backgrounds,
right?
And then you tilt it up, and yeah, it's, you know,
because you had the flag, right?
The G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
So if anyone would have had, you would have had the.
But this is way later. I was cynical at this point.
Oh no, but I'm saying, but this would have been the toy the equivalent of the flag, right, giant PlayStation.
Right.
The flag was a G. Do you know?
Yeah,
G.I.
Joe? No, I'm just pretending.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was a G.I. Joe aircraft carrier that was longer than this table. It was like
it's like 7 feet
or 7 feet long.
What?
When you put it all together. Yeah, it was low and flat, but six,
you could be
or
buried in
long
it
on the deck.
Today, that would be like, yeah, a lot.
Right.
Of
yeah, I threw it out.
Very expensive, of course. Yeah.
So this is something to keep in mind when watching these minutes. Sure. Is that Ewan McGregor on Hayden Christensen's shoulder? And if it's not, is it a real guy or is it just a scarecrow type dummy?
Oh. And if so, what happened to the Ewan McGregor dummy? Where is it? Is it in the archives somewhere?
I was just trying to think of a snide comment to make about acting, but I won't. He's pretty good.
It didn't land.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it's tough with Ewan McGregor. If it was the other way around, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Ewan McGregor is one of the relatively better ones in this one. But because, Ewan McGregor's got to be like 150 pounds or so. So for Hayden Christensen to be, it's got to be a dummy.
Could be.
Or a light stunt person.
Right.
They did a lot of their stunts, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I could see him kind of, you know, joking around with Hayden Christensen, making him do it.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know,
that sounds plausible.
Like, between the two, between Ewan McGregor and Ian McDermott, just being like, look, kid, this is real acting. If you want to do this, you're going to have to pick him up and carry him around.
Only if Ian McDermott wasn't there.
Right.
And so Ewan McGregor put like weights in his pockets and stuff.
So right.
He
yeah
had to carry him around. So the captain, General Grievous, tells them to put on their rear thrusters. yes. to stop the ship from crashing.
No Fun Me says, wouldn't that just happen automatically? Like, wouldn't they have something that was like, well, obviously that needs to happen. You know, wouldn't it just trigger when the ship was careening into the atmosphere? Mm. But maybe not.
Well, or wouldn't the captain of the ship know to turn on the reverse thrusters?
Who's the captain now?
The guy, the Ben Burtt guy.
Oh.
Fire all batteries, dude.
That guy. Right. He's a Lushros Dauphine.
That's his name?
Lushros?
Lushros. Lushros.
Could you spell it?
Wait, are you talking about the Nemoidian or someone else?
Yeah.
Who's driving the ship?
Who's right. like, he's a, isn't he the one that's a weird, like, they basically found one mask, but somebody else's hat or something like that. So they were like, well, we can't find all the right pieces. It was supposed to be one of the other. It was supposed to be like
the guy from
Gunray or something. But they were like, well, we can't find his mask. We found this mask. So he's a new guy.
Yeah. I mean, I bet I just thought it was Newt Gunray the first time I saw it.
Right.
But
No, it's Lushros, Lushros Dauphine, who is like the cousin. Everybody's a cousin. The cousin of Dalte Dauphine,
great.
Who in the Phantom Menace is the stunted piece of slime who has to get out of his sight.
Buy that action figure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My life is richer knowing this fact. Thank you.
I wonder how many Nemoidian action figures there are.
Weirdly, I think I'd be interested in one.
Really?
Like out of... Yeah. I would like...
Any particular one? Or just any of the...
No, just if I were to collect... Uh-huh. Figures at all.
You just limit yourself like to Nemoidians.
It's an only Nemoidian right, Star yeah. Wars collection.
Well, that would make it a lot easier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know. It only takes
I think
one
I've said
portion
this
of the
before.
Bookshelf.
I have a signed Rune Hako figure from Jerome Blake, who was the inside of Rune Hako. He did a signing at the store that I worked at. So we had, I have a signed Rune Hako. I think that's my only Nemoidian figure.
Would you want that? Would you want Pete's signed picture?
I'm going to steal that deal. One.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is that the line that the Nemoidian says is actually it's the most memorable part of this minute for me. Well, minus the R2 scream. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think from the first time I saw it, I just that stuck with me. The booster engine. I don't know why, but just that stuck in my head. Maybe it's the way he says it or it just struck me as so funny.
Well, it does seem weird that, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, because he popped up earlier, that we've established this kind of Nemoidian accent, and then all of a sudden here's just, you know, like Stoner, and it's Ben Burtt doing the voice, and it's just, well, he's not doing, maybe because they took, you know, some criticism for the voices being kind of stereotypical, so instead there's just like, I don't know, do something, and he's just like, fire the engines, like doing this kind of...
It struck me as Nemoidian. I could...
Yeah?
Yeah, without looking, I'd definitely know it was a Nemoidian.
Hmm.
Well, and also, all Nemoidians don't have to have the same accent the way all humans don't have the same. You know
I guess,
I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but true, I guess it depends on how big their and varied their region is.
Right.
Because
right.
those things, yeah. you know, location.
This is Dauphine's cousin, Dauphine.
Yeah. He grew up in right.
And they're all in the same family, so they're probably all going to have similar accents.
Mm. Could be. Maybe not. Maybe they're just distant cousins.
Do you think he just got the job because he would think it's his stoner cousin? He's like, give him the job piloting the ship.
Yeah.
Grievous is really the one who does all the commands. You don't really need to do anything.
He was working at the video store in the Nemoidia, but it closed down. So yeah. I don't know. He's got to do something.
Well, I bet there's a species hierarchy where it's kind of like, well... If you might kind of die in this position, like, better make it a Nemoidian.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a bunch of battle droids, and he's just, like, sitting in a chair the whole time.
Like, yeah, sort of like a thankless. Yeah.
He's like a supervisor or something. They just need him to be there. Maybe it's like a no-show, like, mafia job kind of a thing. It's like, the droids do all the work. You just have to sit there and, right. and you know, like...
Like, put a Nemoidian, put a Gungan, put a, right. you know...
So he just happened to show up on the one day when they actually right. needed someone who knew how to pilot a ship.
Yes.
And that's why Grievous is like, turn on the rockets, you idiot.
Turn the engines on.
Yep. That's my new postulation. Right,
I like it. Yeah. Oh, man. I can't believe I came in today.
Yeah.
I'm not even supposed to be here.
Right.
It's going to be a great day.
Now I do kind of want to see Nemoidian clerks. So.
Now I want to see a Star Wars special like Robot Chicken that has way more Nemoidians than their usual ones.
Yeah.
Which I think isn't zero.
I want them to do a standalone movie about Nemoidians.
Newt Gunray.
I think I'll stick with the action figures.
Fair enough.
And you can make your own, yeah, basically.
That's true. As long as you get that cool playset.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So R2-D2 falls into the pile of droids.
Mm-hmm.
Emerges totally unscathed from it.
Right. Well, so. Again, these are cheap battle droids, and he's an astromech droid. He's hardy. He's meant to.
But I would think even just the fall would probably be. Even if he hadn't landed, maybe the battle droids softened it.
I think it softened. Right.
They're like fiberglass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it probably softened. That was really hard to animate, apparently, that specific fall. Yeah, yeah. Falling into.
I can see that.
I love it when. I love it? I can't. Legs. Like, I have such mixed feelings about.
Seems very uncharacteristic for you to love it, frankly.
When something is so, it's difficult and it's like a new technique that they have to come up with just for like a cutaway gag, basically like this. That it's so like, I appreciate that on so many levels, but then also like sometimes I'm like that doesn't really belong in the movie, but I like that they went for it. But here I like it. Like I was really these. This sequence, earlier I was being a little critical, I think, at the beginning of the movie, but at this sequence, and maybe it's turning the building, and it gave me kind of a Batman vibe, which will keep coming up, like the old, you know, Adam West Batman, but, like, I'm appreciating that on this level right now, that it's just fun.
Wait, you're appreciating a Star Wars movie because it's fun?
I know that's not what we do here, but something about like the R2-D2 falling into the pile of battle droids seems like the type of thing that I wouldn't like previously. I'm like, oh no, I get it. I like it.
That was a very roundabout explanation, but
it
I agree.
Was.
I agree.
I went off
on
a tangent. Justify it
because I feel like I had to defend myself partway through, but
yeah.
I do like it when they go all out to do something just because they. Because they want to, like, they had the idea, and then they had to basically, like, invent new techniques of animation in order to just have R2 fall into a pile.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think a lot of Revenge of the Sith crosses the line into, like, camp.
Yes.
I think Ian McDiarmid is playing it very, he plays it very campily, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I agree with that.
But that's right. What I'm appreciating it on that.
Oh, no, yeah, but
right
I'm saying
I'm totally like, I'd rather
that's
I
a,
like it.
That's a different, yeah.
Than Attack of the Clones, which took itself like very seriously and was kind of, no offense, but it was kind of slow going at some times.
It is a little bit slow.
So,
well,
given the two choices.
Right.
Yes.
I will take the campy over the top one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it's the misfit details that make a story for me or a movie. And so things like that are necessary, I think, even if they don't all fit in. If they don't all work in the same way, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate as well that they try and that they throw them in there.
Right. Yeah. Literally, in this case, they're just throwing them into a pile.
Mm-hmm.
Did we already ask you what kind of droid you would want if you had to buy, if you owned a droid?
Ooh.
Apparently not, because that was like that struck you. You had to think about it now.
I'm like, well.
And this is you in your real life now, not in Star Wars universe.
Right.
To be honest, I would say.
To one be honest, yeah.
Oh, God. I'll just take IG-88. I want R2, specifically R2, that one.
Mm.
Not no cousins, no. I want R2.
Any reason other than just the fondness?
Utility.
Yeah.
Fondness, I don't really care. No, I'm just kidding. It's the sheer utility. I'm thinking of all the other droids. And I don't know ones that are as multi-talented as R2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems fair.
It's a standard. It's a very lazy response, but you know, no, I'm not gonna name some obscure shit just for the purpose of it.
Yeah. You thought it out. That's what matters.
Yes.
It's almost, you know, don't feel like you have to, you know, dig deep to be like, well, what was the droid who did
right.
the...
Right. I'm not here to impress you.
Right.
I didn't mean it like that.
Well, in that case, then, let's just wrap this thing up. So do we have anything else for minute 17? Anything else? Anyone? Observations? Anakin's carrying a lot on his... He's a heavy burden right now because he has himself... And he's carrying... Obi. And he's carrying...
He's a strong guy.
Sheev, too.
Right.
That's actually John Knoll's hand, though.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Grabbing.
That's cool to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we can add him to the list of people who played...
Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hand
I think
substitution.
I think his hand comes in... Yeah. Anakin has a few hand moments where they're like, oh, we need to put in a hand that we forgot,
which
someone else did it.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that style of movie making always, where it's like, if you just saw him grab something, you would know that he grabbed something. You don't have to show like, here's a hand grabbing a thing.
But yeah,
I'm not gonna nitpick over that, especially here. Especially I'm feeling good. I'm in the vibe of the movie. I'm liking it right now. I'm not gonna
quit while we're ahead.
I don't know. I didn't really believe John Knoll's performance, though. Like, it just seemed kind of like, oh, I'm here. Like, he just seemed like he was sleepwalking through.
Right. Sleep-handing?
Sleep-handing.
Yeah, right.
So, all right, then. I guess that'll wrap up minute 17. And do you think you can come back tomorrow, Chrysanthi?
Yeah, I can swing that.
Okay, good.
Swing.
Well, Pete, you're okay to come back tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, good. So, listeners, we hope you will come back tomorrow. But in the meantime, you can also follow us on Twitter at Star Wars Minute. It's pretty simple to remember. And I know you're not supposed to say at anymore, but I am an old man.
If you're using it in a sentence, like, you can follow us at Star Wars.
Because you needed that. Yeah, you needed that word.
Right.
You didn't say follow us at Star Wars Minute.
There you go.
You know?
You were using the word at and not the symbol at.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, follow us at Star Wars Minute. Anyway, we are AT Star Wars Minute over on the Twitter, and we post stuff there and fun stuff. And you guys know what Twitter is. I don't need to explain it to you. Worldly. But we'll be back tomorrow with another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.